I've been thinking about something. I've been thinking about the rhythm of our heart. And you see, now you can get something that you can record your own EKG. You can get this little device and you put your fingers on it and it transmits a signal to your cell phone and you can see the rhythm of your heart. Isn't that neat? Now, EKGs can tell us some things about what's going on in our heart. That's why the doctors do it. But it's like music. But what kind of music moves you? Now, I like the 50s and the 60s music. I guess I'm an old-timer. Some of them old songs kind of stick in my earworm, as they call it. And I like to sing along with them. But think about a tune or a song that maybe completely captivates you. Maybe even softens your heart or reduces your stress or entirely engages you in that moment and immerses you into bliss, if you would. Now, much like the sounds of wave crashing from the ocean, people get a lot of peace about that. Why they go down and they walk along the beach and listen to the waves crashing onto the rocks and the sounds and certain waves and frequencies that resonate with us, entirely changing our focus or our mood and even sometimes our spiritual awareness. Now, psychologists now know that music also changes our brain. Studies show, in fact, that those who listen to music, especially certain kinds of tunes and frequencies, develop a greater capacity for empathy. Music triggers the hormones in us, and that's responsible for bonding and trust and intimacy. Sharing rhythmic behaviors such as singing and dancing and chanting can also increase social bonding. Now, I think much of this has to do with the renaissance of the frequency of tones and as well as the rhythm that creates for us. In fact, our universe is made up of sounds. Now, we've been trying to record those sounds for a long time. Wonder what's out there? Well, they managed to do it now. And they think, well, okay, this is what the universe sounds like. Now, we can hear them in the various tunes, almost hums. And to expand our understanding of sound waves, NASA's been experimenting with converting images from space into sounds, like from the Milky Way, and using the modern telescopes and different things that they have now, and satellites. A team from NASA has assigned sounds and instrumentation to the various sounds and wavelengths and expressed by images resulting, and you can actually hear it. Now, there's a YouTube thing that you can go to, and you can actually see how they put sounds and music that goes along with the Milky Way. It's interesting. But I digress. This is the musical rendition of life, isn't it? And the truth is, we haven't even touched a fraction of all that we still don't understand about the universe. This thing with artificial intelligence is opening up all kinds of things, both good and bad, I think, but I digress. But we do know that listening to these kinds of sound and absorbing these kinds of images help us to contemplate and appreciate the vastness of God. And it awakens in our heart to the truth that there's so much more to existence than we can even imagine. Even if the simple little thing, if you remember back in school, and the tuning fork. The tuning fork was used to let us know and understand frequencies and stuff like that. Sound therapy uses frequency to exist to focus and to encourage inner harmony. And it also gives us a sense of empathy and intuition and holistic healing. There's all kinds of stuff that's available to us now through music and sounds from various frequencies. So perhaps when we engage in prayer and meditation, we connect our hearts through music, and our hearts resonate with God's voice, God's frequency, if you would, God's presence in our life that moves us and changes us and, more importantly, heals us. So whether or not you engage in music meditation or certain kinds of music, simply touch your heart and your soul, and you can feel your heart beat and that rhythm of God's pulse. Our soul resonates with the frequency of God's Spirit. I think we feel God's presence And our heart responds. It responds with faith and emotion and empathy and compassion for others that are around us. Now, the scripture tells us in Matthew 6:21, where your heart resonates, there is your treasure. Our inclinations, our tendencies towards either selfishness or empathy, our outlook on life, relationships, faith, and God Almighty, all issue from the rhythm of our hearts. So I want to ask, can you feel God's heartbeat? And if you do, your actions will follow. Your heart will know what to do when you're faced with difficult situations. The scripture that we read today, a man approaches Jesus, and somebody in the crowd of people who have surrounded him that day, acknowledging that Jesus is a rabbi, a teacher of the law, he shouts out, "Hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I love Jesus and his ways of teaching. As always, when approached by legalese, if you would, Jesus instead responds relational. He said, "First, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" And then he continues, "Watch yourself. Guard yourself against all kind of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions. Even when someone is very wealthy, your life is determined by the resonance of your relationship with God. Your wealth doesn't determine the state of your heart." I want us all to hear that, because sometimes we can imagine that Jesus somehow only has a heart for those without means. And he was certainly concerned about the poor, but that's not all of the gospel. Isn't it wealth itself that causes someone to falter sometimes? But how does the heart define its treasure? Jesus went on to tell a parable about a wealthy man whose land yields abundant crops. And as he surveyed his wealth, he said to himself, "Self, what do I do now? I got too much." That's always a heart question, isn't it? And when faced with a decision, what do we do that depends on where our priorities lie? What song our hearts sing? The chant of self or the song of the Spirit? So the man said, "Hey, here's what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns, store all my goods, take it easy, and enjoy life all by myself." Now God, in response, retorts. He said, "Hey, tonight you will die. And then what is the use of all those stored goods?" That's heart-wrenching. But there's something more valuable than material things, and that's the treasure of your relationship with God. And Jesus calls it being rich towards God. Wealth is not about money. Wealth is not about the richness of your life. How is your life most enriched, and where does your treasure lie? These are the most important questions. Because wealth itself does not corrupt, but the inclination of those who may look at their wealth and put all their attention and desires upon their wealth, that's where the corruption lies. Jesus tells us, it's not what we put in our mouth that corrupts us, but what comes out of our heart. Matthew 15:11. And the heart is our source of value, our actions, our reflections, and who we love and how we love and what is really our focus in life. So true treasure, according to Jesus, lies in the music that sings deeply in our soul. And when we hear the voice of God and the call of Christ, our hearts respond, resonating richly, and we feel the authenticity and the veracity of who we are and who we are in Christ. So when God is near, our soul leaps for joy at God's presence. And we know that our entire being is resonating with the heartbeat of our Creator. So when attuned in our lives and our hearts to Jesus' frequency, you know, the way, the truth, and the life, He is the Word, and He shows us the way to life, we discover not only our authentic purposes and call, but our hearts begin to resonate more deeply and fully with those around us, and we become compassionate, empathetic, caring creatures. And we echo God's voice and intent for creation. So no matter how much wealth that may bless our doorsteps, when our hearts are rooted in Christ's love and mercy, our actions then will follow. And our hearts determine our treasure. Simply in theory, so difficult in practice, but we so easily would rather blame wealth than look inward at our own true inclination. But I want us to remember, many wealthy people supported Jesus' ministry, and many wealthy people have done magnanimous things and generous deeds within the church. Jesus does not chastise the man for what he has. No, he warns them about where he's placing his values. God does not ask us to deprive ourselves or decline to take care of ourselves as we should. No, the Christian faith does not celebrate self-inflicted destitution. We must neither long for more and more things, nor deprive ourselves of what we need. God wants us to have what we need, but also to share in our abundant blessings. So today, how will you answer when Jesus asks you this? Hey, what defines your life? Does your love and devotion to God define your life, or something else that has replaced God in your heart? Does your heart align with God's perfect pitch? Does the maestro of the universe inform the state of your heart? Does your soul leap for joy when you sense God's presence around you? We call them holy bumps sometimes. Does your spirit resonate with the voice of the Holy Spirit of Christ within you? If you know where your treasure lies, your deeds will always follow. Your goals, your inclination, your empathy, your compassion for others will flow from the heart like a blissful sound of the angels. And God's voice will resonate in your spirit for all to hear. So lift your voices and sing praises, people of God. Let the music of God's presence wash over you like the crashing waves of the sea. And may Christ fill you with His Spirit so mightily that every act will resonate with the healing power of your Creator. Amen. And this is also Holy Communion Sunday. Hope and pray you click on the part on the website and follow us in the service of Holy Communion. Have a wonderful, blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.